Hello, my name is Arnaud Servignat. I live in Paris. A meal without a cheese is like a beautiful lady that misses an eye. Un repas sans fromage est comme une belle à qui il manque un œil.
Merci. That's good. I love Portugal, and when I'm in Portugal, to me it's such a wonderful and stimulating and different place to enjoy eating. It's different than Spain. A lot of people confuse it with Spain, but it is distinct. And we're going to learn about eating in Portugal right now as we're joined by two guides from Portugal, Cristina Duarte and Maria José Cardoso. Maria and Cristina, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
You're both from Portugal, but you're from different parts. Maria, you're from the north, Porto.
I'm from Porto.
And Cristina, from?
From the south, the main city, Lisbon.
Now, how would the cuisine of Portugal change from the north and the south?
Because we have a long coast, so it's basically the same. Fish will be more or less the main dish. And once you go more inland, we eat more meat.
Yes.
It's really a matter of, are you on the coast or are you inland?
Yes.
More than north
more
or
than,
south?
I think so.
Also, yes, south and north also. Don't forget that also the temperature is very different from one place to the other.
Uh-huh.
So in south, you tend to have a warmer temperature, and actually you want some dishes that are lighter dishes. In the north of Portugal, you are more onto heavy stews, beans, so
tripe.
Things that, yeah, tripe.
is there more influence from the Spanish Northwest, Galicia, in the north of
yes.
Portugal?
Actually, we have many dishes which are similar.
Okay.
Yes.
And in the south, you would have more influence from Morocco?
No. Because what is strange is that we have a long coast, always bathed by the Atlantic Ocean, but we have the latitude of the Mediterranean Sea. So our influence is not really Morocco, but what are the tastes of the Mediterranean mm-hmm. Sea? Garlic, onion, olive oil.
Oh,
that
it's
is
a Mediterranean
the base.
Cuisine.
Yes.
I see. Mm-hmm. Across Portugal, cod is a big deal.
It is.
Bacalhau.
It is. Although we don't fish in our coast.
So this is from Norway.
It is from Norway.
Now that's
from
the most
Canada.
Curious thing to me, from Canada and Norway. It's your main food. How can that be, Cristina?
Because on the old times, you know, having a such big coast, but not every day of the year are good for fishing and going away. And going away for such a long period, you want to have your boat full of fish. So that's why codfish was a wonderful fish, because they could dry it, they could salt it to keep it, and then you can eat it. Doesn't matter in summer, in winter, in Christmas Eve, on Fridays, mainly a Catholic country, so Fridays were always the day of fish. And, well, when you live in the mountain, you don't have fish.
Okay.
So codfish, it was something that
oh,
you just...
And you don't need refrigeration.
Exactly. It just arrives to anywhere.
So
That's
it's like a baseball bat. It's so hard.
You do exactly like you used to do with the meat when you didn't have a refrigerator. It's the same. You do
dry
with the cod.
You salt it. And then when you want to cook it, what do you do?
You have to soak it before, a few days before, days before. Well, it depends on the size of the codfish, actually. And then you just change the water and then you cook it. Well, and you just choose if you want to boil it, if you want sort of a stew.
365 ways of cooking it.
Cod, you say that with a little weariness. You have cod for breakfast, cod for lunch. You go to a bar and you have a little snack, it's going to be a little cod cake.
Yes, there are some kind of a beignet.
Yes, bolinho de bacalhau or pastel de bacalhau.
So bacalhau is the word you see, bacalhau.
It's the wild bacalhau.
All right. I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel with Rick Steves. I'm joined by Maria José Cardoso and Cristina Duarte. We're talking about eating our way through Portugal. When we think of classic Portuguese dishes, what comes to mind? What's a classic sort of, if somebody's coming to Portugal and they want to eat traditional, is it a regional thing or all of Portugal?
We can talk about maybe the cozido à portuguesa, which is basically meat and sausages with boiled potatoes and carrots and cabbage.
Is that a stew or?
It's not a stew. We actually boil the meat.
Uh-huh.
We boil the meat.
Okay, so it's a plate with
a... It's a plate, yes.
It's different kind of meats, and the water that you use to boil the meat is also used for boiling the vegetables. So also the vegetables, they take that flavor.
That wonderful flavor, yeah. And what about the cataplana?
Cataplana is more to the south,
and
of Portugal,
that
in the Algarve. First of all, you need to have a special kind of pen that is actually like two halves that they close together like a ball almost.
What's the French?
Like a globe.
Bouillabaisse. It's a bouillabaisse.
Yes. It's like
Portuguese
a kind of bouillabaisse, yes.
Oh, okay.
Though.
And it could be any number of different kinds of fish?
Yes, can be. But though we have that
cataplana.
Same. Cataplana.
Cataplana.
Cataplana actually is the name of the pen. Because the bouillabaisse, the stew, is caldeirada. So are two different things. Cataplana is more to the south, to the Algarve.
Okay.
Wonderful, wonderful. The stew is in this particular kind of pen. And caldeirada is to Nazaré, which is also a fishing.
So it's
south,
another bouillabaisse.
No, central part.
Okay, on the coast, good seafood. And Alentejo is the sort of dusty, high prairie country in the south. Mm-hmm. And it has a lot. I know a lot of the food says the
so
Alentejo,
good.
This Alentejana.
They are so good.
What is it about Alentejo?
Well, in Alentejo, it's in the south, but they don't eat light meals there.
Heavy meals.
Heavy meals.
Cowboy meals.
You got heavy meals.
You got the super de Alentejo.
The Alentejo, it's with the bread. It's like a sorda.
A heavy bread.
Heavy
and
bread.
Garlic
with
and poached
garlic
egg.
And olive oil.
And actually, they have lots of dishes that you do serve them with bread. Don't forget that we are talking about a region which we have the highest temperatures in Portugal. So the greens are something very rare. Potatoes don't make part of their main cuisine. So the bread replaces the hydros. So that's why you don't have so many fried French potatoes or boiled potatoes or rice
or pasta.
So
Alentejo
is a bread-based. Yes.
Is it economically poor? Is that part of it?
It is an economic part of Portugal, yes.
A big deal also down there is the pork, Alentejo pork.
Mm-hmm. It's a smaller pork than the rest, and the characteristic is because it's black. And not only black on color, and it has a unique characteristic, which is part of its life of this this animal is feed on acorns.
Okay, the pork fed on acorns.
Exactly.
Happy
so
pork,
the food,
happy pig.
Yes. I mean, the grease, it doesn't go in between the muscles and the skin, but actually into the meat. So it's have a wonderful flavor.
More
that
flavorful. Because of the acorns.
Acorns, exactly.
So this is something they're proud of when they raise their pigs with acorns.
Completely. We still have in south of Portugal one of the most important forests of Mediterranean, green oak and cork trees. So actually we have this flavor, so wonderful meat, but also wonderful sausages.
You sound like you love the pork.
Oh, I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
Oh, love
man.
It. It's something.
I thought you'd be loving the seafood, but you this pork thing.
I love
thing,
to eat.
You love to eat. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're eating our way through Portugal. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Carol's on the phone in Allentown, Pennsylvania. Carol, thanks for your call.
Thank you, Rick. We had a wonderful trip to Portugal, the best food ever, better than Italy. And the best meal was in Sitio, which you take the funicular up from Nazaré to at this restaurant called O Lewis something.
Oh, yes.
We went there two nights. The first night we had just typical grilled fish, and the waiter showed us how to eat sea snails. And we saw him bring out this 20-inch wooden boat filled with seafood that night, and we said, what is it? And he showed us. We went back the next night. It was filled with lobster, crab claws, crab meat, oysters, mussels, sea snails, urchins, shrimp. Prawns.
My goodness.
It was
a boat, a literal seafood boat.
A seafood boat, and it was under $100, way under.
You know, it's probably convenient for them because they can serve whatever's fresh in that boat.
Yes.
So it'll vary according to what the fisherman brought home.
Absolutely. And this was in
Now, I know the restaurant, and so do my friends here. This is in Sitio, which is the little town on the hill above Nazaré.
Yes.
Nazaré is a great stop, by the way. If you want one stop between Lisbon and Porto, Nazaré I would vote for. And then you ride the funicular up to the little town on the bluff called Sitio. And this restaurant, you and I can pronounce O Luis, but then the next word, Marisqueira, that means like a seafood place or something, or what is it?
Marisqueira.
The waiter
Marisqueira.
Seemed very, you know, old-fashioned.
Yeah.
But I mean, it was excellent. It was the best meal we had the whole trip.
Carol, you mentioned barnacles.
Mm-hmm.
Did you eat the barnacles?
Yes, whatever they brought, well,
Percebes. Is that the word in Portuguese?
Yes, percebes. Percebes.
I love the barnacles. They're quite expensive. If you go to a little cafe or special restaurant in Lisbon and you have a glass of white wine or a beer and these barnacles, it's quite expensive. Why is it so expensive?
They are expensive because it's dangerous actually to pick them up, because they only survive, they live in areas where they are bitten, rocking by the sea.
Oh, they're made tough and flavorful by the stormy
yes,
sea.
Yes, yes. So men have been picking up it from long time. So you have to go further down, actually by the line of water that is risky because of the tide.
In the crashing surf.
Exactly.
So, Maria.
It is near the cliff.
Yeah.
Near the cliff. And these barnacles, percebes, are expensive. But how do you eat them, Maria?
We actually have to take the inside of the barnacle because it has a sort of a skin outside. And then you have to take the long... It's like the body of, or even the bone of it, and then you just eat it.
A lot of Americans could understand it. It's a barnacle. It's actually a barnacle, and you break off you hold the little shell. You break off, and it's got a long neck, like the neck of a clam or something we might know. You break that off, and then you've got this beautiful piece of meat. It's just been boiled, right? How do they cook it?
It has been boiled, or not?
Or not?
Or not?
Or not?
And then you eat it with, it's popular with beer, I think.
With beer, yes.
So it's like beer nuts.
As a starter.
All right. Carol, we're fantasizing about our seafood boat. Carol, thanks for your call.
Well, thank you. We enjoyed the trip.
Happy travels.
Thank you.
I'm Rick Steves. This is Travel. This is Eating with Rick Steves right now. We're in Portugal, joined by Maria José Cardoso and Cristina Duarte. And Bob's on the line in Eugene, Oregon. Bob, thanks for your call.
Thank you. My wife and I took a little bicycle tour down kind of from Porto down past Lisbon and the Algarve and the back up the Alentejo. We were just delighted by the seafood. This is in September and October. It was just fantastic, especially the sardines.
Sardines.
Sardines are wonderful in our Portuguese coast, though we can find them now all through the year, but the best time for sardines is from late May to September.
And then in the Alentejo... We went to a restaurant, and in Portuguese, it said they had wild rabbit, and they translated it in the menu to savage rabbit, so we had to have that.
I've seen that on the menu, savage rabbit. So, Bob, you're talking about Alentejo. That's that whole high, dusty, rough cowboy country in the south of Portugal, where you would more likely find not just a wild rabbit, but a savage rabbit.
A savage rabbit, right.
And how was it?
It was great. As we were riding our bicycles through that country, we just saw a lot of game, a lot of partridges and rabbits. And, of course, they have a lot of pigs that they turn out in to eat the acorn in the field. And they are the pork is just delicious.
It is. But after a long day on the bike in Alentejo, there's really nothing better than a savage rabbit.
Actually, with white beans.
Oh, with white beans.
Yes, of course.
So the rabbit and the white beans. So, Bob, did you finally get down to the Algarve?
We did. We took the coast all the way down to the Algarve, went into Henry the Navigator's school down there. Oh, and
way on the southwest tip, yeah, Sagres.
Right. And then we actually, to get away from the high-impact tourist area, we trained almost over to the Spanish border and then rode up into the Alentejo from that up towards Lisbon.
Nice. Well, I think biking down there to Sagres must have been quite dramatic when you got to the, you know, it's just sort of this windy, godforsaken, rough and tumble southwest tip of Europe. And you go to that very tip and you can look out where the great Portuguese sailors would have gone off into the dangerous zone where they didn't know. I mean, woe to those who go beyond this point, only dragons go here and so on. And then they'd come back and Henry the Navigator would collect them after they washed up on shore and interview him in his school there and see what they learned from their adventures.
Exactly.
And then they might have a nice cataplana or something.
Yeah. It was certainly a highlight of the trip, but just the Portuguese people were the real highlight of the trip. Just warm, friendly people. And we had no trouble riding into a town and getting accommodation because we were just barely off season. So,
hey, Bob, did you ever have any of the local wine?
Oh, yes.
What was your take on the Portuguese wine?
Well, we didn't do any port. We were thinking about doing that up in that area. But we love the rich and hearty reds.
The reds.
I thought they were excellent. And the price was right.
Of course. And did you try the Vino Verde, the green wine?
Oh, yes. We did have Vino Verde. The reason we went to Portugal is we heard you talk about it about 2 years ago.
What did you think about the Vino Verde? It's kind of a what would you call it? A rough, sprightly wine. Yeah,
and very refreshing. That's a good way to put it. Well suited for bicycling.
Bob, when you were traveling, did you have the opportunity to go into a fado bar and listen to the music?
My wife and I had some conflict about that, and no, we never made it. We spent 3 days on either end of the trip in Lisbon and just loved it and never got around to a fado bar.
I would like to help you fill that gap in your Portuguese experience. If you don't know, my guests here are realizing, oh no, I think we're going to have to sing. But I think in the blood of all Portuguese women is this beautiful fado. It's a charming folk music that you can go to in restaurants all over Portugal. And if you're lucky, you can enjoy a little spontaneous. I know I didn't warn you about this, Maria and Cristina, but what fado song would you sing together so we can hear the Portuguese voice?
Shall we sing the Casa Portuguesa?
Yes, Portuguese house is the best.
So the lyrics are basically the house in Portugal is the warmest house?
The warmest house. You're welcome.
Yeah. And the lyrics go kind of describing what the smells, the decoration, the warm attitude, the two arms while waiting for a person.
Always open for you.
The kissing when you arrive home, so that's it. And then ends up like, é uma casa portuguesa, com certeza. É com certeza uma casa portuguesa.
Well, sing a little more. Give me another verse before you get to the end.
Well, we can start by the beginning.
Okay. Do the best you can. I know you don't have the words in front of you.
Uma casa portuguesa fica bem,
pão e vinho sobre a mesa.
E se a porta humildemente bate alguém,
senta-se à mesa com a gente. Fica bem esta franqueza, fica bem.
E o povo nunca desmente.
Que alegria e
a tristeza. A maior riqueza, dar e ficar contente.
And then the chorus again.
Uma casa portuguesa, com certeza. É com certeza uma casa portuguesa.
Very nice. So the house
That's
in Portugal
you.
Is the warm house. Tour guides in Portugal singing like songbirds. And that just gives me an appreciation of the vivid and rich Portuguese culture that a lot of people miss. And thank you guys very much for sharing that. Hey, Bob. Great to have you on. Thanks for your call.
And thanks for the fado experience.
Obrigado.
Okay, obrigado.
Bye-bye.
Obrigado. Thank you. Bye-bye.
You guys are wonderful.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit nervous today.
Are you? Well.
I need a glass of wine now.
Get some wine.
Nasceu de ser português. Fez a vida pelo mundo. Foi pelo sonho vagabundo. Foi pela terra abraçado, bem querido, ao mal amado. O fado, bem querido, ao mal amado. O fado.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced by Tim Tatton with Sarah McCormick at Europe Through the Back Door in Edmonds, Washington. Thanks to our colleagues at WRTI in Philadelphia for studio help today. There's more in the radio section of ricksteves.com, including links to our guests. Join us again next week for more Travel with Rick Steves.
Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. The European Union received the 2012 Nobel Peace Prize for promoting peace, human rights, and democracy. Information available at euintheus.org.